Welcome to the Healing Happens podcast with your host, Avital Miller, designed to bring you insight and inspiration from health and healing experts to overcome seemingly insurmountable challenges. From former program manager at Microsoft to author, international keynote speaker, global dancer, and healing breakthrough facilitator, my goal is to inspire boundless energy, absolute happiness, and true success so you can live the best life possible. Enhance the power to heal yourself through natural healing techniques and through gaining awareness in order to comfortably, energetically, and joyfully live your passions. Hello and welcome. Today we have Belinda Farrell here with us. She is the author of the book, Find Your Friggin' Joy. She graduated with a BA in Spanish and English from the University of California at Berkeley and is trained in hypnotherapy, past life regression, NLP, Hawaiian chanting, and ancient Hawaiian healing called Huna. Belinda trained with Anthony Robbins, who's the author of Unlimited Power, also known as Tony Robbins, and has effectively used these skills in her own life. She has completed 18 firewalks. When Belinda was 48, she collapsed with herniated discs and spinal nerve damage. She was threatened with paralysis by her medical doctors if she didn't have surgery. But instead, she chose to apply the ancient Hawaiian healing practices she had been learning the previous 3 years. And her back completely healed, including the childhood scoliosis. For 15 years, she has been sharing these healing practices with others, offering reconnective healing and Huna classes, taking clients to Hawaii to teach Huna and swim with wild spinner dolphins. Woo-hoo. On my trip to Hawaii, I got to go and see those spinner dolphins as well and get a dip in the water with them. And they are just amazing and delightful.
Absolutely. They're my second skin, I think.
Wow.
I don't know what else to call them.
Yeah. Yeah. And what a way to find your friggin' joy to be with them. I really felt like they were consciously trying to bring joy to all of the people in our boat as well.
Absolutely. That's their job.
Yeah. Yeah. But you've had quite a journey of getting to this place.
Yeah.
And you mentioned there's three main stories that you had of challenge that you had to figure out how to overcome, which is the suicide of your son, financial loss, and all the stuff going on with your spine. Would you dive in and just share those stories with us and a lot of the struggles and what were the challenges? How big were these things to you and the impact on your life?
Well, when you say dive, I mean, during my early years, my first 40 some odd years, I hated water. Mm-hmm. And I would never have gone in the ocean. I would never have gone even in a swimming pool. For me to be swimming with dolphins and, you know, making them part of my life is a total miracle. But in the beginning, after 40 years of age, I got a divorce from my husband. And that's when I went to do the firewalks with Tony Robbins. And Tony is a magnificent nuclear vision person. And he gets you to do things and jump out of your boxes and fears more than anybody that I know. So if you can walk on 2000 degrees of hot coals, you ask, you know, what else can you do in your life? And I was married 18 years, so I did 18 firewalks. And I was pretty much an adrenaline junkie. I went from doing the firewalks to driving race cars. And, you know, I had a career of almost 10 years doing the race car and commercials. And I was really just pounding my body until finally it collapsed and I had herniated discs. I had nerve damage. The doctors told me that I would never walk again unless I had surgery. Mm-hmm. And by that time, the producers and pension plan had dropped me because I couldn't do my stunts anymore. So I had been learning this ancient Hawaiian healing in Hawaii for about 3 years. And I thought, well, if this works, I have no choice. I have to do it because I have no insurance. I have no medical insurance. So I wrapped myself up in a green cloth, which is the color of healing. And I just 24/7 concentrated on going inside body to clear out old thought forms and negative patterns. And one of the things I found out that I had been saying to myself was that I can't be supported. Whatever you say to yourself is what's running your body. That's what I learned. It's the unconscious running your body. And my conscious mind kept saying, I can't be supported. I learned that from my parents gone through the depression and grandparents. So I had to change that. I thought, well, my goodness, if I'm saying I can't be supported, then it's my unconscious is not supporting my back and my spine is being compromised. Logical. So I thought, okay, well, now I am being supported. Thank you for remembering to support me. And I changed my vocabulary. And I literally thanked it for helping me to regenerate. And so that's how it started. I collapsed. My son even helped put me to bed. Couldn't walk, couldn't sit, couldn't drive, couldn't, you know, just, you know, bedridden. And all I did was concentrate on healing my back. And then as these memories would come up, there's one memory in the book where I was like a little fetus being thrown out into the abyss of the universe, like a piece of garbage. And I saw that and felt it. And I couldn't, when I finally came to, it was like, what was that? I was just drowning in sweat. And I called my mother and I said, what happened in my birth that made me experience this child being thrown out? And she finally admitted that she had taken me with my father, whom I never met, to 3 abortion clinics. And so I was just not aborted. It was, you know, they were going to clear up the mistake that they had made. And I came through. So this child who was being thrown or tossed out into the abyss was feeling that not being wanted. And yet she was caught in these hands. These hands reached down and picked up this fetus and brought her up to this, I don't know what it was, a divine being, but she was all dressed in blue and I was safe and I was in these arms and I felt just totally loved and totally accepted. And at that moment, it was like I didn't have to really try hard anymore to be loved or to prove that I was worthy to be loved. I was. And so the healing then accelerated after that. And I started to see myself climbing trees. And you have to have a strong back to climb trees. So I was just bouncing from tree to limb to tree like a little monkey. And within 4 days after that, my back completely healed. I followed the recipe that I was taught, that you move all these thought forms and you get closure on them. And that's what I had done. And then the higher self, your own higher self, comes in and heals the physical body because the pipeline then is free and clear of any debris. And so you can send up your wish. And the wish is not the thought, but it was the actual exercise of me climbing trees. I got my unconscious mind excited that it was going to climb these trees. So I better get that thought up to the higher self so it can give me the back that I need to climb the trees. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So that's what happened and that's what it did. I don't know how the higher self does that. It's like explaining physics to a 2-year-old, but it worked. And I got out of bed. I went back to the doctor. They couldn't believe I had this spine. It was like, what? I knew at that moment, if I can heal myself, I can do anything.
Yeah. And I feel like there's this piece of ourselves as humans that gets caught up in our ability to perceive just through our 5 senses. And then there's much greater understanding about life beyond those five senses. And so when you talk about your higher self, what I equate that to is not necessarily a better or worser, but just the part of ourselves that sees beyond the five senses and then reminds the self that only sees through the five senses what the potential is. And that's part of where the healing can come through when you tap into a more expanded wisdom.
Yeah, you're more than what you see. And when you have that belief and it's so strong, it just crashes through any border, any boundary that you have. Mm-hmm. So that was 25 years ago. And I've been pretty much feeling really good. I play tennis. You know, as I say, I'm not skiing so much anymore, but I've been rollerblading. I play ping pong. Mm-hmm. And I'm very grateful.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And then to turn the tables, you know, back around. So we have this light and you know all this stuff about healing yourself. What happened with your son?
And he saw me heal. He was not ready to go inside and to deal with some of his, you know, dark subjects or his memories. He was just on a different path. Mm-hmm. And as much as I try, you know, you can't when you're so connected emotionally to someone that they say you can't heal your family. You know, you're given the family you have and they have to figure it out on their own. Mm-hmm. He saw me heal, but he would not go inside and do any of the work. So he had a ski accident when he was 12. And then his dad told him that he would have to have surgery when he stopped growing. And his father was an orthopedic surgeon. So, you know, he trusted him. You know, he had an orthopedic surgeon on one side and then me trying to do it without anything, you know, just doing the regular healing. So somewhere you get caught in the middle. So he had surgery and it wasn't successful and he had a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. And so they put him on a lot of pain medication. And eventually that's what he had an overdose of after he graduated from college. Mm-hmm. And it was just devastating. I just never thought it would happen. Mm-hmm. And he left California to go do a master's degree and the pain was too much. He was just too sick and he had been in the Army Reserves. And so he went back to the Army Reserves where he got more medication. He just took it all. Mm. Yeah, that was about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then right after he passed, a month later, I stopped getting checks that I had invested in. You know, this invested my savings account in this investment. There was a spiritual investment. A lot of my spiritual friends were in it. Turned out to be a Ponzi scheme. Mm. So that was the end of that. And I had a month to get out of the house that I had been renting. Hadn't even finished the mourning for my son and just was selling everything that I could. My daughter took me in and I started taking care of my grandson. Mm-hmm. And he saved me. Little children and animals are just, they're saviors because all they have is joy. Mm-hmm. And so every day I would be forced to bring on my joy, even though I was just hurting so badly. Mm-hmm. And I was cutting cords, which is one of the main things about HUNA, is you learn how to forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. And cut the cords and cut away your interpretations of how you think something looks or feels. So even though I was cutting cords, I wanted to stay healthy, but I was still very heavily burdened. And a friend of mine literally dragged me to see a movie called The Living Matrix. And it featured Dr. Eric Pearl from The Reconnection. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Bruce Lipton and some other healers and teachers. And I went to see Dr. Pearl. He just used his hands on this little boy with cerebral palsy from Greece. And within three sessions, very short sessions, never touching the child, he was able to get out of the wheelchair and walk, whereas everybody had given up on him. I was so impressed with that. I just had chills. I thought, I need to learn how to do this. So I came home, looked up a practitioner in my neighborhood in Santa Cruz, and she gave me a half-hour session. She didn't know a thing about me. You're not supposed to tell them anything about you so that you have full access to whatever these frequencies are going to do. Mm-hmm. Within that half an hour, I got out of the table and I felt light again. It was like the blanket had come off. The burden had been lifted. And I was joyful. I actually was joyful. It was incredible. And she didn't know anything about me. I had my reconnection done. And then I went to Chicago where he was at that time. And I got trained. And I've been doing that for the last 10 years as well. And helping people to heal if they want to. Mm-hmm. At the deepest level. And I do believe with the reconnection and the reconnective healing that we are accessing these higher frequencies. Mm-hmm. You know, you can call it the higher self, you can call it whatever you want, but they're coming in and finding out where the root part is that you need the deepest healing. And it could be mental, could be emotional, could be physical or spiritual, mm-hmm. but whatever it is, but you do get a healing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that's been what's happened.
Yeah. Yeah. That I'm still soaking in your story because there were so many challenges that came up and so much transition that you made, so many adventures that you've been on. And what always amazes me too is a gift that comes out of a challenge where you learned how to do this healing practice. And you're able to help other people. Now, when you're working with people, mm-hmm. how much control do you have to make the healing happen?
Oh, no control. There's no technique to this at all. They lay on the table and in between your hands are, it's like a generator mm-hmm. and like a laser. And you feel like it's like taffy. That comes in between your hands, and then you just start to increase it and then spread it out, and then you play with it. Mm-hmm. That's really all I'm doing is I'm playing with these frequencies and moving them. In fact, the further I go from their torso, the stronger the frequencies become because this is not energy. It doesn't dissipate as you go farther away. It increases. It's like mm-hmm. dialing up. Mm-hmm. You know, the there's a book that was written by some scientists and medical doctors on this science of reconnective healing. It is like a science mm-hmm. and it's I can't explain it. You can't explain. Some people get a healing right away. Some people, it takes days or weeks or months. And I had this one man who came back and I think I put the testimonial in the book. He didn't write me a testimonial for 2 years afterwards because he wanted to make sure that what had changed had stuck with him in the body. It's really, you can't have any expectations and you can't promise anything to anyone. I mean, doctors don't even do that. Mm-hmm. There's no guarantees, mm-hmm. but you do get a healing. Yeah. I wish I could do it effectively on myself.
It's a little harder on ourselves, isn't it?
It is a little harder. When I healed my back, you know, that was years ago, you know, 25 years ago, the older we get, as I say, it's, I guess I get lazier. Mm-hmm. I have to admit. Mm.
But tell me, when you're working with somebody, what's their role in helping progress the healing?
To not think of anything. If they can, if they have a laundry list and that comes up, just to notice it mm-hmm. and not judge it, but just not, they have to receive. You have to be good at receiving. And a lot of people aren't, you know, they're good at giving. Oh, I can give this to you. I'll give that to you. I'll give that. But me receiving, no, not worthy. Mm-hmm. So you've got to turn that around because what you're going to receive is light and information. Mm-hmm. So that's all you have to be willing is to see, to hear, to feel what comes in as light and information. And it's just awesome, you know, to hear some of the experiences that people have, the colors that come in, or just memories or events that they hadn't thought about for years. All of that is trying to get released from inside so that the body can heal. It's like, again, a Roto-Rooter for the soul. Mm. That's why I call, you know, this is ancient Hawaiian healing, which I also practice, but it's separate than the reconnective healing. Mm-hmm. But it still clears the plaque of your soul, mm-hmm. which, you know, I call the plaque because I've had a lot of plaque on my teeth. Yeah.
How do you help people have the courage to release their blocks, to face their demons, per se, to be open to healing?
That's another good question. How do you give anybody courage? You can't. You have to go through some fear, and then you have to be able to overcome that fear, which creates the courage. And that's part of their life journey. Mm-hmm. I mean, because some people can say, no, I won't do it. And and maybe you won't have that opportunity again. When I did the fire walking, for some reason, I thought I have to overcome all my fears. If I don't, I'm going to come back and repeat all this stuff again. And I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So I remember what came up when I said, well, if I can walk on 2000 degrees of hot coals, then what else could I do? Mm-hmm. And what came up from my belly was, you'd like to drive a race car. Whoa. Okay. Where'd that come from? I mean, I couldn't even drive a stick shift at the time. Mm-hmm. But I thought, Tony teaches you the mantra, if I can't, I must. Mm-hmm. And if I must, I will. Mm-hmm. And that is just an outstanding mantra, because if you say I can't, then you have to.
Yeah.
So I said, I can't drive a race car. Oh God, I must. So I called a racetrack, right? And then found out where I could sign up for a Grand Prix road racing course. Mm-hmm. And this was out in Sonoma County. And I did that. I was scared to death. And I was the only girl. I was there with the Porsche racing team. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was a kid that used to throw up when they went around curves. You know, when I was a child going down to Muir Woods and Sausalito, and here I was in cars that were spinning and sliding, and it was really, yeah. But I loved it. Yeah. For some reason, it just really dialed into me. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the 4-day Grand Prix road racing course, they hired me to drive for Buick and Cadillac in New York because I had really good peripheral vision and I could hit my marks. Mm-hmm. So then when I came back, they created a stunt course for me and I learned the spins and the slides and
wow,
the terrorist driving and all of that good stuff that helps you on the road today.
Yeah. Wow.
But you have to be able to answer that call from your gut, whatever it is, even if it sounds ridiculous and stupid. What do you mean drive a race car? I can't do that. Whatever it is. You're a dancer. Maybe you have to go to the ballet in New York and audition for the Bolshoi Ballet.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
If you don't answer it.
I've done a fire walk that supposedly was hotter and longer than Tony Robbins' one. And
wow.
I've been through a lot of these personal development trainings where they put you through a lot of these challenges. Yeah. Recently on my move to Denver, so speaking of cars and cars flipping out and whatnot, I had to drive through a snowstorm and then I had to drive through a windstorm while there was still snow being blown in my face and driving over black ice. And this was wind where they were telling the trucks not to drive on the freeway. And it was directly 90 degrees, you know, perpendicular from the direction that we were actually driving. So that meant that if I want to keep driving east, but there's a wind heading north, and it's that strong, it can more easily push me north. And that was exactly what happened. It pushed me off the road. And I had to get towed out of the snowbank. I almost drove onto the opposite side of the road as a truck was coming. Mm. After that, you know, there was the consideration, well, maybe I could just stay here overnight in this town nearby, and I don't need to keep driving in this weather. And everyone there said, the weather is just going to get worse and you're going to be stuck here for a few days. So this is the best moment. You better just go do it. For a period there too, I realized that the tires on my car were a little bit dull. But I couldn't get new tires in that town. I had to drive another 40 miles to the next town. So here I am knowing I'm on these somewhat bald tires driving over black ice with snow blowing in my face and then the strong winds. And I'm seeing other cars that and trucks that had flipped over. What did I do? But I remember the fire walk and the other challenges that I went through in the personal development training. And one, you get the skill set of how are you going to deal with that challenge? But there was something else that came up for me too, that there was a sense of grace that carried me through those challenges, that I didn't get injured, I didn't die through them. Yeah. And that while I was still scared and gripping the wheel for my life for the next 6 hours while I was driving, there was still that there's going to be a grace. There's going to be a grace where I'm going to live through this. You know, there's more to my life after this point. And then pulling in many other techniques. But the interesting one was that sense of grace.
Do you call in your angels or do you work with your angels at all?
I do a general feeling, if that makes sense. So I try not to put too much form, but there's, for me, the concept of angels. And even before I went off the road, when I knew I was driving in that wind, I started to do a prayer called Om Tat Sat, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And if you do this to your body, you clap in front of you and behind you, and then you repeat Om Tat Sat. And I did that to the car.
Oh, good.
And that was just a few minutes before I got blown off the road, which was a funny coincidence. There was a lot of grace and angels in the process of it because nothing bad actually happened. And I got towed out pretty quickly. And I had the snow blower guys, you know, and the highway patrol circling around and keeping an eye on me to make sure I was safe until a tow truck came by to pull me out. And then even the people who helped me change my tire and whatnot, there was a lot of grace and just really sweetness there for the state that I was in. So it could have been worse.
Yes, it always could be worse. I have some pretty strong angelic beings through Huna, through the Hawaiian, and I call on them and they've just helped me a lot. Because I've been stuck in snow in Colorado for stunt jobs, and we couldn't even see the white. They sent the girl down because I was still the girl in a field of men to bring up this car, and they knew I was going to fail. And I remember going down there and just saying, "Help me! What can I do?" And then I heard the words, "Turn the ignition on and put the car in neutral. Put your hand on the wheel." And I did that. And the car started moving up the hill, literally started moving up the hill. And I could see the outline of wings, it just, and a rope. I could just see it. And they pulled that car up the hill. And when they kind of got up there, the director was just, but I had no flack from anybody after that.
So, I mean,
I just call on them. Whenever I, you know, I'll just say, take the wheel or do something or, and I feel help. So however you do it, you've got to ask for something higher than yourself.
Yeah. And this is good for, because we're talking about healing here and how are we going to apply that to our body? If we can overcome those obstacles.
Right.
What can we do for our own selves?
Survival skills of the 20th century.
Or the adventures that we put ourselves in.
That's true.
Yeah. You had mentioned you wanted to share a healing chant with us.
Ah, I can. Well, there's several. There's one that helps people get rid of PTSD. And then there's the other chant that's in my book. Again, it's almost like me carrying a gun. It's my protection. And when I chant this, I feel just totally safe, protected, and you can too if you hear it. Maybe I should do that one, right?
Yeah, let's do that one.
Okay. Okay. It's a chant to the higher self. Hain hoana ke akuya kanai hele hele. Hia le hia hia he te tia huahue tau a koko. He he na kino malui kalani malue hoe. He o houlu mahi ana ho kanei kona kahu. Hoa, hoa noa, wahi ke. Mahalo.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it asks for the darkness to be lifted and for the light to come in and for a protection, a shield to just surround you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used that whenever I've been in danger, which has been few and far between, but it changes the energy around the person who's trying to accost you, or it just keeps you safe.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And yeah, it's an ancient chant.
Yeah. For those listening to the podcast, what I'll do is I'll cut the clip of the chant and put that on YouTube so people can easily just grab the chant itself and listen to that and remember the vibration and feeling of that. So in the moments of challenge, people can go back into that space. And my YouTube channel is just my name, Avital Miller, for those listening, Avital Miller.
I have 3 CDs that are on YouTube, and that one is also on there in a CD called Enchantment. So there are other chants in there as well that are very powerful. Some can change the weather. And yeah, there's just all kinds of stuff.
What is your YouTube channel called?
I'm embarrassed to say I don't know.
Do you think if people look up your name, they'll find it?
Yeah, I think they can find it with Belinda. It's with iTunes and with TuneCore especially. Mm-hmm. I have someone that handles that for me. I'm just not technical.
That's okay. That's why we have other people to do that.
Oh, thank you, God.
Very good. And what are other ways that people can reach out to you and take advantage of your services?
Well, I have a website, and that's hunahealing.com. It has all the pertinent information. I'm not taking clients anymore to Hawaii. I did that for 20 years, mm-hmm. little 20 years plus. The ocean is very large, and we would always swim out from the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a lot. It's a lot to just handle myself and my partner, and I just don't want to be responsible for people swimming out and then forgetting that there's a shore and then me having to go get them. Because I'm not that great a swimmer, but the water holds you up. You know, it's wonderful to be in salt water because it's effortless.
Mm-hmm.
And then the dolphins, of course, are there.
Mm, beautiful. Any final words of wisdom you would like to leave us with?
Oh, gosh. I think nothing in life has any meaning except the meaning that we give it.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that your stories are optimistic and that you can, you know, you can uncover whatever it is, the challenge that's in front of you. Mm-hmm. You know, you can say, I can do this. You know, I'll find another way to get through this. And you're the one that's in charge of your stories. So you just want to make it a great story.
Great.
And I think if you can do that, you can get through anything in your life.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being here, Belinda, and sharing your fascinating stories. You've lived an amazing life.
Not over yet.
That's right. Let's see what else comes.
Thank you. Thank Aloha. You. Mahalo.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Healing Happens podcast. To take your next step towards boundless energy, absolute happiness, and true success, visit
www.healinghappensforyou.com, where you can get your copy of the book Healing Happens or sign up for interactive online courses to put the power of healing and success in your hands. Fatal pronouncements do not have to be your fate. Healing happens. The content in this podcast is provided for educational and informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or prescribing. Listeners should consult their physician on all health matters, especially symptoms that may require medical attention. Using this podcast's information is entirely at the listener's discretion. Healing Happens, Avital P.G. Miller, contributors and publishers of this podcast assume no responsibility for errors, inaccuracies, omissions, or inconsistencies. Any slights of people or organizations are unintentional. Healing Happens and Avital P.G. Miller do not endorse every statement, treatment, and diagnostic approach contained in interviews in this podcast.